thousands of times. I heard the question at the lotus feet of my Guru Paripadma. Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Shkotara Sata Rupanu Gacharya Bharja Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. Secondly, I give my thousands of Dhanavat Pranams at the lotus feet of my Guru Bharja. And thirdly, I give my pranam to all assembled Vaishnavas. And I request all to bestow their causes mercy upon me so that I can fill the desire of Srila Gurudev. So Gurudev just sent a message that I should try to speak something about any kirtan. So I think many of you, either you have this book or you know the song. There's one song in the song book written by Nartam Das Thakur. Jai Nilo Premadana Karuna Prachur Nino Prabhu Kosti Gela Acharya Thakur Kaha Mora Swaru Grupa Kaha Sanatan Kaha Dasuraganata Potita Pavan. So this is a very simple song. In Malaysia recently, Srila Gurudev was speaking on the topic of what is bhajan and what is sangeet. What is the difference between bhajan and sangeet? So the sangeet means music. If we are singing any of the songs here, and we are thinking, oh, my voice is so nice, my harmonium playing is so good, my mridanga playing is so nice, and or maybe it's not so good, but we're listening to someone else and thinking, oh, it's such a sweet song, such a sweet voice, being absorbed in the rag, ragini, in the tunes, then this cannot be called bhajan. Because these bhajans, they are the deep realizations, the emotional ecstasies of our acharyas. They are transcendental. If we want to touch the substance of these bhajans, then we'll have to approach them in a very, with very deep honor, deep respect, with a very, with a mood coming directly from the heart. So, I remember one time, Shyamarani Didi, she said that Pundarik Prabhu, he was sitting on a train and he was reading one song book like this. And she said, oh, what bhajan are you reading? He said, I'm not reading a bhajan, I'm reading ink on a page. So this is a nice example to show that these bhajans, they are transcendental. So before explaining something about the content of this bhajan, I'd like to repeat some beautiful things.
What is the meaning of reading ink on a page? I don't understand. Sorry, I'm so dense.
He was giving the example that this ink on a page, there are words here. So we can read the words, but that doesn't mean that we're reading the bhajan, that we're actually entering into the mood of the bhajan. So before I try to explain something about the meaning of this verse, I'd like to repeat some things that I've heard from my Gurudev about the chanting of the bhajan. First of all, at the end of each bhajan, we'll see there is a name there. In this case, Sei Sangana Pai Kande Naratama Das. Being unable to attain the association of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Naratam Das simply weeps. In other songs, we'll see Bhakati Vinoda Kohe Shuno Khan. Bhakti No Thakur says, oh, Krishna, please listen to my words. And in any other song, Narahari Hiya Pashina India, Kemani Goriache. Oh, Narahari Thakur is crying like this. So we'll find the name of some famous Vaishnava who has written the song at the end of the verse. So sometimes it has become fashionable among devotees to change the name and say some other name, this something like Sei Sangana Payakandi A Adham Das. This fallen servant is saying that without this association, he is crying. To change the name and say, oh, this fallen person or Krishna Das, some servant of Krishna, is singing this song. So Srila Gurudev said that this is not so good. It may be done, but it's not so good. Why? Because who is singing this song? Narottam Das Thakur is singing the song. We should think that this is the song of Narottam Das Thakur, that he is singing the song, and we are taking his remnants. One may think that, oh, I wish I could take the remnants of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Narottam Thakur or Rupa Goswami, but it's not possible, because whatever was left on their plate has long been eaten, and even if anyone saved it, it will have gone disintegrated by now. But no, the remnant, the Mahaprasadam, means the what has touched their lips, the words coming out from their mouths. So these songs, they are the remnants from the lips of Narottam Thakur, from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, from Srila Rupa Goswami. So if we change and put our own name in, then it ceases to be their remnant. It becomes something else. So we should take their remnant as it is, without any false ego. I am the doer. I am singing this bhajan. No. This is the bhajan of Narottam Thakur. And we are chanting and hearing his bhajan and taking his remnant. And what is the result of taking a remnant? If you take the remnant of any Vaishnava, why? Why do we do it? If we take the dust from the feet of any Vaishnava, or the foot bathing water of any Vaishnava, why do we do it? What is the purpose?
Get their mood.
Yes, the purpose is to get their mood. The meaning is that may the moods within your heart appear within my heart. This is the meaning. So when we're chanting these songs, we'll think, this is the song of Narottam Das Thakur. I am not feeling so much separation from the Swarup Damodara, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his associates. Personally, I am not feeling that. But Narottam Das Thakur, who is singing this song, he is feeling so much separation. So much separation. Therefore, I am praying from the core of my heart, O Narottam Thakur, please be merciful to me, and may your moods appear in my heart. Then it will be real sadhana and real bhajan. We want to do the engaging the sadhana bhakti to attain bhava bhakti. Rupa Goswami has given the definition of what is sadhana. Piti sadhya bhavet sadhya bhava sadhana bhida. Nitya sirasya bhavasya prakatyam vidhi sadhyata. Sometimes we think, oh, I wake up early in the morning, I go to Mangalartik, I chant Hare Krishna, and I attend the program, I take prasadam, I do so many things, and this is my sadhana. I'm performing sadhana bhakti. But this is, may not be true. Why? Because Srila Rupa Goswami has said the definition here of sadhana. Sadhana means when we engage our senses in the angas, in the limbs of devotional service, with the intention of what? Nitya siddhasya bhavasya prakatyam vridhi sadhyata. That the eternal mood of devotion, which is dormant within our hearts, prakatyam vridhi sadhyata, will become manifest. So this means that we'll have to know what is the goal of our sadhana bhajan, what is our prayojan, what is the mood for which we are aspiring. Then, understanding this, then we'll have to take up the appropriate means to attain that mood. Then performing our bhajan, constantly praying, remembering any verse of Srila Rupa Goswami, Karanam Kuru Mai Karna Bharite Sanaka Sanatana Barnita Charite, and praying, oh, when will the mood of Rupa Goswami, what is that mood of Rupa Goswami? He is the Palya Dasi of Srimati Radhika. When will that mood come in my heart? Then hearing and chanting will be called sadhana. Otherwise, if there is no goal and the activities are not performed with the intention of attaining that goal, then we are not doing any sadhana. And without proper sadhana, then one cannot attain his sadhya, his goal. So here Narottam Das Thakur is expressing the feelings which are overflowing from his heart. Srila Gurudev, he said recently, what is sang? He said sang means when there's some emotion in the heart, some joy in the heart, and that overflows. It overflows through the mouth in the form of sang. So here, Nautam Das Thakur is praying. Jai Nilo Premadana Karuna Prachur Eno Prabhako Tegela Acharya Thakur. Jai Nilo Premadhan means who brought to this world Premadhan, the treasure of divine love. Karuna Prachur, out of his causeless mercy. So who brought the treasure of divine love to this world? Who was it? It was Advaita Acharya. Why? Because Advaita Acharya, he saw the state of the Navadvip. There were so many so-called brahmanas there, engaging everyone in the worship of Chandima, Durga, Kali. They were doing all kinds of strange things, performing weddings for their animals, and so many illicit activities. There was so much panditya, scholarship of logic and astronomy and all of these things, but no understanding of bhakti. Navadvip was completely devoid of bhakti. At that time, Advaita Acharya, he was thinking, alas, all these conditioned souls, they are suffering so much. I can see that there is no shelter for them within this world. How will their suffering ever come to an end? So out of his causeless mercy, he would take his bath and sit on the bank of the Ganga with his Shila, Shalagram Shila, and he would offer the Tulsi leaves and Ganga Jal to his Shalagram Shila and cry out, Oh my Prabhu, please descend. So it said that by the loud shouting of Advaita Acharya, the seat, the throne of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Swetadvip began to shake. And therefore Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he descended to this world. But due to the loud shouting of Advaita Acharya. So Advaita Acharya, he has shown us the example. Advaita Acharya did not sit casually in front of his Shalagram Shila and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, looking here and there. No, from the core of his heart, he was shouting out with tears, crying again and again, my Lord, please come. If we do bhajan like this, then Krishna will come in our heart. Otherwise, we cannot expect anything. Advaita Acharya, he is the expansion of Mahavishnu. He is so powerful, he can establish dharma. And he can convert all the fallen souls to the path of bhakti himself. So why did he bother to call to disturb Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and call him to this world? Why? You know, he is the incarnation of Mahavishnu. He can establish Yuga Dharma. It's not a problem for him. All of the universes are coming from the pores of his skin, in the space of his one breath. He's so powerful, so why? Why did he call Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Because Advaita Acharya, being the expansion of Mahavishnu, he can establish Dharma. But Krishna himself has said, Yuga Dharma Pravatana Hayangsa Haite. Ami bina nahi anye raja prema dite. Krishna said, my angsas, my avatars, they can establish the Yuga Dharma, but no one but me can give a raja prema. Only Brajendra Nandan Shyama Sunda, Swayam Bhagavan himself can give the raja prema, the love of the residents, the Brajvasis. This love is so special, so high, that it is not within the power of even Narayan, Vishnu, or any avatars, any incarnations to distribute this. It is only the possible for Brajendra Nandan Shyama Sunda, Swami Bhagavan, Sri Krishna himself. So he had to come. So Advaita Acharya was so kind, and here it says Karna Prachur, he was so kind that he caused the treasure of divine love in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to descend to this world. Heno Prabhakota Gero Acharya Thakur. So here Narottam Thakur is praying. Oh, where did such a merciful personality as Advaita Acharya go? Kaha Mora Swarup, Kaha Sanatan, Kaha Dasa Raghunatha Potita Pavan, Kaha Mora Bhatta Yuga Kaha Kaviraj, Eka Kale Kota Gela Gaura Nataraj. Kaha Mora Swarup Rupa. Oh, where is my Swarup Damodar? And where is my Rupa Goswami? And where is my Sanatan Goswami? Where is my Raghunath Das Goswami, the savior of the fallen? Where is my Gopal Bhatta Goswami and Raghunath Bhatta Goswami? And where is my Krishna Das Kaviraj? Oh, all of a sudden, where did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great dancer, suddenly go? So it appears to be very simple, but the meaning is so deep. First of all, we see here, he said, There's a word in both verses here which is most important. Kaha mora swarupa kaha sanatan kaha dasa raghunatha patita pavan. Which is the most important word here?
Mora.
Mora. This word mora. Where is my swarup? Where is my Rupa Goswami? Why is this word important? Because this word indicates the mamata of Narottam Das Thakur. This mamata means the feeling of possessiveness. This is the basis of prema. This is the basis of love. Without mamata, there is no love. Without the feeling, oh, you are mine. So how would this come about? So recently, Srila Gurudev has been describing very beautifully the Sharanagati and the six limbs of Sharanagati. And Srila Gurudev has described how the Sharanagati is not bhakti per se, it is the door to enter into the realm of bhakti. So this bhakti, as Srila Gurudev was describing in the house of Sriman Gauraj Prabhu, it has six limbs. Danya Atmani Vedana Kauptite Bharana Abhasyara Kibe Krishna Vishwasa Palana. There are eight limbs of Sharanagati: humility, self-surrender, accepting Krishna as one's only protector, accepting Krishna as one's maintainer, and accepting what is favorable to bhakti and rejecting what is unfavorable. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the same song, we did not come to that verse yet in the discussion, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur described Sadanga Sharanagati Haibeja Hara Tahara Pratana Shuno Srinanda Kumara. One who takes shelter of Krishna by these six limbs of Sharanagati, the son of Nanda Maharaj, Rajendra Kumar, he listens to his prayers. He hears his prayers. Many people may be praying to Krishna, but is Krishna hearing their prayers? Whose prayers does Krishna hear? Bhaktivinoda Thakur reveals the secret in this song. Sad anga sharanagati paibe jaha taha pratana shune srinanda kumar. Only one who actually takes shelter of Krishna by these six limbs of sharanagati, Krishna will hear their prayers. So, of these six limbs, it is said here, sad anga, there are six limbs. But of these six angas, one of them is called angi. Angi means not the limb, but that from which all the other limbs are coming. Just like Krishna, he's not an avatar. There are many avatars, but Krishna's not avatar, he's avatari, the source of all avatars. So similarly, though it is said, sad anga sharanagati, there are six limbs, one of them is called angi. And the others are all dependent on angi. They are anga, they are dependent on angi. So what is the angi among these six? That angi is Gauptitve Bharana. Gauptitve Bharana. Gauptitve Bharana means to... It is generally given that one should accept the Lord as one's guardian. But in the conditioned state, we want to surrender to Krishna, but we don't know Krishna. Who is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And what does he want? Therefore, we have to surrender not to the Vishai Bhagavan, So, but to Ashray Bhagwan, that means the devotee, the spiritual master. So Gopitvay Bharana means to select one's guardian. So we want to select that Krishna will be our guardian. But actually we don't know Krishna. So we have to select any bona fide Vaishnav and Guru. Gopitvay Bharana. And because this Gopitvay Bharana is Angi, then everything else is Anga. It is connected to that Angi. In other words, when we say Anukul Yasya Sankalpa, Pratikul Yasya Varjanam, to accept what is favorable and to reject what is unfavorable, it means to accept what is favorable in relationship to our taking shelter of our guardian, and to reject what is unfavorable in relationship to taking shelter of our guardian. I can give an example quite recently, and it is still going on. Some devotees were going to some big scholars and pandits from any Babaji Sampradaya to learn the study of the Shastra. So to study the Shastra, this is Shastadhyay, it is favorable for bhakti. But those pandits, they were not favorable to our parampara. So even though it was favorable to bhakti, it was not favorable to taking shelter of one's guardian. Therefore it was not a symptom of surrender. It was not a part of bhakti. And therefore all of those persons, now they have become lost, and they are falling down and becoming bewildered and even offensive to our parampara. So we have to understand this. Gopitvay Bharana means to take shelter of one's guardian, and to be favorable or not favorable is in relationship to this. Now I'm coming to the point of Kaha Mora Swarup Rupa Kaha Sanatan. Gopitvay Bharana means to select one's guardian and take shelter there. So how will one take shelter? One should have the mood of Tadiyata. Tadiyata means, I am yours. One should surrender himself there. O Gurudev, O Vaishnav Thakur, I am yours. I belong to you. I am your property. You can do with me as you like. I have no independence. This is called Tadiyata. And when this Tadiyata is matured, then it will become Mamata. Amito tomar, tumito ama, ki kaja apana dani. I am yours. And surrendering in this mood gradually, when this is mature, the mamata for the Guru and Vaishnavas will come. And when there is mamata, O Vaishnav Thakur, O Gurudev, you are mine. And what the devotee feels, one in heart, with his Gurudev, or with his Shikshi Guru, or with any self-realized Vaishnava, when he becomes tadatmik, when his heart becomes one, then what happens there at that time? Then the mood of the Vaishnava, one particle of his mood, it goes from his heart to your heart. It is said, Na devam devam acharet, unless one is a demigod, he cannot actually serve the demigods. This is from Nyaya Shastra, from logic. How can you serve a demigod? You cannot really serve him properly because you do not have such a form that you can go there and serve him. So to be a servant of the demigods, one must be a demigod. So in order to render truly intimate service to someone, you will have to become like them. This is called tadatmik. One will have to become tadatmik. So the feelings of possessiveness, mamata, and to become tadatmik with the Vaishnava, this is the key to that whereby bhakti will manifest in our hearts. Just like Sri Uddhavji, when he went to Vrindavan, he prayed to the damsels of Brajabhumi. What did he pray? Vande nanda brajestrinam padarenam abhikshnasaha Yasam Harikatud Gitam Punati Bhuvanatrayam. I am doing my offering Vandana and doing my pranam. Actually Uddhav, he was falling in the dust, offering his Sastang pranam from a distance and praying to the foot dust of the damsels of Brajabhumi, of the gopis of Vrindavan. He thought that he was not qualified to become like them. He thought, this is impossible for me. So then he thought, maybe I can touch their feet by becoming a blade of grass and get some dust from their feet. Then he thought, also, this is impossible for me. I'm not so fortunate. So then he thought, I'll give my pranam to the dust of their feet from a distance. At least this much I tried to do. Why? Because they are so great. Yasam harikatud gitam punati bhuvanatrayam. When they speak harikatha, when they glorify Krishna, then at that time, that kirtan, it purifies the three worlds. The kirtan purifies all the three worlds. So, in relationship to this, Srila Gurudev explained, they have a very nice purport. What is it saying here? Yasam hari kut udgita. This kirtan, it is udgita. It is coming up from their hearts. From their mood, their moods are coming out in the form of kirtan. So, when Srimati Radhika is in a very high mood, a very high state of Mahabhava, at that time, her moods, they appear in the hearts of her sakis. But which sakis? It is not that all the moods of Radhika will appear in the heart of Lalita, Vishakha, Tonga, Vijaya, Champakalata, Chittadevi, and so on. No. The moods of Srimati Radhika, they will appear in the hearts of Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, the Manjaris. Why? Because the Manjaris, they are completely sheltered at the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. They know nothing but her. They have no independence whatsoever. Lalita and Vishakha, they're called Swatantra Nayak. That means they're independent heroines. But Rupa and Rati and other Manjaris, they're called Palyadasi. They are completely dependent on Srimati Radhika. The happiness of Srimati Radhika is their happiness. The sadness of Srimati Radhika is their sadness. They know no one but her. They have such iconic bhav to the service of Srimati Radhika. So, because they're totally dependent upon her, their hearts are tadatmik with her. So, the mood of Srimati Radhika, when she's doing kirtan, that mood appears in their hearts and in the hearts of any other persons who have acquired the eligibility to receive that. This is the meaning of the verse, Punati Bhuvanatrayam. That when the gopis do kirtan, those who have eligibility to receive it, their moods come in their heart and punati, they become purified and attain perfection. So, in the same way, when any bona fide guru or any bona fide Vaishnava sees his disciple, his Diksha disciple, any Shiksha disciple, or anyone has taken shelter of him, when he sees, oh, this devotee, he has no shelter than me. I am his exclusive refuge. He has no hope. All of his hopes are placed in me. He has completely given himself to me. At that time, his heart melts. And when that Vaishnava is doing kirtan, then one particle of the mood in his heart is transmitted into the heart of that surrendered devotee, that disciple. And that is called?
Sankramit,
reflection. The mood is reflected into the heart of the disciple by Sankramit, by reflection. This is called Shuddha Sattva Visheshatma Prema Suryangsu Samivat. Ruchibir Chitamasunya Kridaso Bhava Uchite. So how will bhava be attained? Only by surrendering to any Vaishnava and having very intense mamata for him, becoming tadatmik with him. Only then will all the moods come in his heart. So this mamata, this is the foundation of prema. In fact, it has been described by Rupa Goswami. Samyat masrimita santo mamata atishayankite. That what is prema? What is prema? Prema means when the transcendental emotion, bhava, has appeared in the heart of the sadhak, when it becomes matured and is endowed with a very intense mamata, then it is called prema. So here, Srila Natham Thakur is saying, Kaha mora swarup rupa. Where is my swarup damodar? Where is my Rupa Goswami? Where is my Sanatan? Where is my Raghunath Das Goswami, the savior of the fallen? So bhakti will never be attained as long as we have any shred of independence, mood of independence. In the West, one is successful if he's like a pioneer, pushing forward the frontiers in his field. Mm? Who is successful? The rugged individual. Mm? But this bhakti's philosophy is not like this. Mm? Mm? We have to fully give our heart to any Vaishnava and become his property completely. So then, by his mercy, his mood, sankramit, will be reflected within our heart. Then we will understand what is bhav, what is prem, what is a yugala priti, the divine love of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Then we'll understand. This is the path, this is the process. That we cannot circumambulate this. There is no other way. This. Take any shortcut. And so come back. We cannot bypass this. Mm-hmm. So, here, Nartam Thakur, he said, Pashane kutibo mata anale pashibo goranga guner nidi kote gela pabo. I will smash my head upon a stone and I will enter into fire. Oh, where shall I find such a great treasure house of wonderful qualities as Goranga? Where has he gone? So here, Nartam Thakur is expressing the extent of his separation. Without the association of these very dear Vaishnavas, he cannot live. He feels that I will give up my life. I cannot live for a moment more. I will smash my head against a stone and enter into a fire. Because the fire is cooler than the fire of separation I am feeling from my Prabhus. So, from this we can learn that in the path of bhakti, the mood of separation is so important. It is not only important, it is essential. We see in Srila Sanatana Goswami's Bhagavatamrita that the Gop Kumar, he was herding the cows. He is a cowherd boy. And he was herding his cows along the bank of Yamuna. And by the arrangement of Krishna, he came to the area known as Keshi Ghat. And there was one sadhu. So, seeing the sadhu, he gave his respect. And the sadhu said to him, "Oh my dear boy, do you think that you can bring me one cup of milk?" And the boy agreed, Gop Kumar, he agreed. And he went and he bought one cup of milk for the sadhu. Then the sadhu asked him, "You think you can bring me one cup of milk tomorrow?" So in this way, Gop Kumar, every day, he would bring a cup of milk. So this is the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Dadati pratigunati goyamakati pratiti bhungte bojayate chavasa didapriti lakshanam. Rupa Goswami has explained, if we want to progress on the path of bhakti, we have to exchange affection with any Vaishnava. We have to have deep love for any pure Vaishnava. And how is that expressed? Dadati pratigrinati guyamakiti prichiti. By giving something and receiving something, any gift in charity, by giving prasadam and receiving prasadam, and inquiring, revealing the mind in confidence, and inquiring confidentially. These are the six exchanges of love between Vaishnavas. Then after this, we will come to the verse. Satna nama rupa charitadi sitapta vidya. Pito patapta rasa nasya tarochikanu kintwa dharadanu dinam kalushai vajusta swadvikramad bhavati tankadamula hantri. By carefully chanting the holy names every day, what will happen? Some taste will come in chanting Harinam. But this is the seventh verse. If one wants to arrive at the seventh verse, first he will have to follow 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and 6. So here in the fourth verse, Srila Rupa Goswami is describing some essential information here. What is that? That one must have very deep, loving affection, affectionate relationship with a Vaishnava. Otherwise, he's chanting, taste will not come. This will not come. So this is the fourth verse. If you want to come to the sixth verse, seventh verse, it will not be possible unless we follow the fourth verse. So Vaishnavas are so kind. Somehow or other, by some trick, they try to make some affectionate relationship with us by some exchange. So, the Guru of Gop Kumar, Jayanta, he told him, "You bring me one cup of water." One cup of milk. So every day Gop Kumar was bringing a cup of milk and giving something and rendering some small service. So we can see practically that to whom we render service, for that person some affection will come. Some affection will come, for sure. Even if anyone has a dog and they're serving their dog, day by day the affection for that dog will grow by serving. So what to speak of serving any pure Vaishnava? By rendering service, gradually our affection will grow. So gradually, by serving the sadhu, Jayanta, Gop Kumar, his affection began to grow and he accepted him as his guru. And Jayanta one day called him and gave him mantra. And when Jayanta spoke the mantra into his ear, then he became so ecstatic upon chanting this mantra that he became unconscious and fell to the ground. Then Gop Kumar, he said, "Oh, Gurudev, Gurudev, what to do?" He was in great anxiety. "So my Gurudev has fainted. I shall have to get some water." So he went away. He went to the Jamuna to bring water for his Gurudev. And when he returned, his Gurudev was gone. That time, Gop Kumar began to cry, "Ah, Gurudev!" And fell on the ground, crying. Why? This is the nature of bhakti. It will be by arrangement of Krishna, by the mercy of Krishna and Guru and Vaishnavas. That separation will come, it must come. And why will it come? Because by separation, the feelings of separation, then the utkanta, the eagerness for bhajan, it will be aroused within the heart.
What you are telling? About Ambarish Maharaj?
No, Jayanilo Premadana.
No, not about Ambarish Maharaj.
Yeah,
not about Dekatu.
Regiment full name. I said you can explain any kirtan before and the choices kirtan.
Why there was a dispute between Ambarish Maharaj and Durbasha? Why? You should come here. Why is there was dispute between Durvasa and Ambarish?
Passed without his permission, and so he became very angry. That's why they were dispute. I can tell in detail also.
Ambarish Maharaj, he was observing a fast. He was observing Ekadashi fast. And Durvasa Muni, he came to that place with so many disciples. And he came to that place alone. And then he wanted to receive from Ambarish Maharaj full meal along with all of his disciples. His disciples were at a distance.
No disciples.
No.
Disciples. His disciples to Draupadi.
No. Yes. Not yet. No writing.
So, to explain that Ambarish Maharaj, along with his wife, they were in Vrindavan, Madhuban, and they had with Madhuban.
Mathura is in Madhuban.
And they had
on
been.
On the bank of Jamuna. Was on the bank of
them. And they had been observing Ekadashi very strictly for 1 year, and they were observing during the month of Kartik, and at the time that Vibhashan Ambarish Maharaj.
How he used to observe Vedanta?
He observed very strictly. It's explained that he would observe full fast, and he would engage in hearing Harikatha, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and
before Ekadasi, only one time in daytime. Only one. And in night, nothing.
And staying up all night.
And in that Bhari Ekadasi day, nothing to take from morning till that morning. Coming morning. Nothing. No water, nothing. He used to do that. And third day, distributing and worshipping Radha and Krishna, and giving Mahaprasadam to all those who were there, all Brahmins and superiors. And then he used to do. So he was doing for years and years, but especially he was doing it in then what happened?
So just at the time that he was going to break the fast, after he had honored all the Brahmins, given them donations, etc., then Dubhasha Muni, he came. So because Dubhasha Muni, a great sage rishi, had come, even though it was unexpected, and very powerful personality.
How powerful? How powerful?
He was very, very powerful rishi. He was a plenary expansion of Lord Shiva.
You should die at once, anyone will die. You should be free, he will be free. What he will cost, anything he will cost to him. He can run in the sky, he can go to heaven, crossing heaven also. He can go to Satyalok, and he go to Patal Lok. In a moment, he can take whole preparation in a moment in his body. He can walk on water. He can, will not take anything, but he will alight perfectly. All used to fear because he was incarnation
and
of expression. And he was also very
angry.
Then what we can
do? So, because
when he came to Ambarish Maharaj in the morning,
and Ambarish Maharaj was just about to break the fast, but such a great sage has come, so he was ready to honor him, and he honored him, perform ceremonies.
That today I am so fortunate. A rishi, Brahmarishi like you have come, and I was to take something foreign for Swadashi, and you have come. So I am so fortunate. I want that you should take something, Mahaprasadam, and then remain in that. Oh, he took the invitation, but told, what told?
That first you go to Yamuna, take bath?
No, he not told. Rishi told.
No, Rishi.
Rishi told that I have not taken bath and anything, I have not done my
Gayatri.
Gayatri and everything. Okay, please. Jamnais, here I am going and just return. But in Dvadasi we should do Paran. That Paran is a prominent thing. If you are not doing Paran in time, what is that time? Dvadasi, Ekadasi last charan. And Dvadasi first. Divide Ekadasi in four and Dvadasi in four. You should you have to pass Ekadasi day, not taking it. What in the morning? If there is Dvadasi, what is first charan? It is also regarded as Ekadasi.
The first?
First. If you divide Dvadasi, the time of that Dvadasi, of that day, in four times, and the first part of Ekadasi,
the first quarter.
should be observed like Ekadashi. So giving up that and in second part of Dwadashi, you can take. But if you are failing, do it within Dwadashi, second part, then your Ekadashi will be invalid. So at that day, in the night, Ekadashi has passed. And first part has also expired. Only second part was going to be
come.
And only 24 minutes were. In 24 minutes, you will have to take anything, otherwise the cost will be useless. So, at that time, when only 10 minutes were
remaining,
Durvasa came and he went, and he should come within 10 minutes, but he kept waiting. Then King was thinking that, oh, Ekadashi is going to be part Dwadashi, first part. So what should I do? If I am not properly
executed,
properly honoring this Rishi that I have invited him, I should not take anything without his taking. And if he takes, then I should take. Otherwise, it is offense to take anything to whom you have invited. So he has invited. And he was coming, but he was late. And if he was late, then time was so short that his whole Ekadashi fraud will go away. So he must take something within time. But there was no time, only 1 minute or half a minute or 1 second was there. He thought and consulted with him. Then he fixed himself that we should choose among two things.